As the sun was going down, over breakfast, he'd go over a few of the many rules. Like, don't make friends. Don't inadvertently fall asleep in class. Boring classes and long bus rides were especially dangerous. Don't clear your throat. Don't ace your exams, even though they insult your intelligence. Don't let your good looks get the better of you. No matter how the girls might throw their hearts and bodies at you, never give in to that temptation. Because you must always remember that your looks are a curse, not a blessing. Never forget that. He'd say all this while giving my nails a quick once-over, making sure that they weren't chipped or scratched. The rules are now so ingrained in me, they're as unbendable as the rules of nature. I've never been tempted to break any of them. Except one. When I first started taking the horse-drawn school bus, my father forbade me from looking back at him to wave goodbye. Because people never do that. That was a hard rule for me initially. For the first few days of school, as I stepped onto the bus, it took everything in me to freeze myself, to not look back and wave goodbye. It was like a reflex, an insuppressible cough. I was just a kid back then, too, which made it doubly hard. I broke that rule only one time, 7 years ago. It was the day after my father staggered into the house, his clothes disheveled as if he'd been in a tussle, his neck punctured. He'd gotten careless, just a momentary lapse, and now he had two clear incisions in his neck. Sweat poured down his face, staining his shirt. You could see he already knew. A frenzied look in his eyes, panic running up his arms as he gripped me tight. "You're alone now, my son," he said through clenched teeth, spasms starting to ripple across his chest. Minutes later, when he started to shiver, his face shockingly cold to the touch, he stood up. He rushed out the door, into the dawn light. I locked the door as he'd instructed me to do and ran to my room. I stuffed my face into the pillow and screamed and screamed. I knew what he was doing at that very moment. Running. As far away from the house before he transformed and the rays of sunlight became like waterfalls of acid burning through his hair, his muscles, his bones, his kidney, lungs, heart. The next day, as the school bus pulled up in front of my house, steam gushing from the horse's wide and wet nostrils, I broke the rule. I couldn't help myself. I turned around as I stepped onto the bus. But by then it didn't matter. The driveway was empty in the dark birth of night. My father was not there. Not then, or ever again. My father was right. I became alone that day. We were once a family of four, but that was a long time ago. Then it was just my father and me, and it was enough. I missed my mother and sister, but I was too young to form any real attachments with them. They are vague shapes in my memory. Sometimes, though, even now, I hear the voice of a woman singing, and it always catches me off guard. I hear it, and I think, Mother had a really pretty voice. My father, though, he missed them terribly. I never saw him cry, not even after we had to burn all the photos and notebooks. But I'd wake up in the middle of the day and find him staring out the unshuttered windows, a beam of sunshine plunging down on his heavy face, his broad shoulders shaking. My father had prepared me to be alone. He knew that day would eventually come, although I think deep down he believed it was he who would be the last one left, not me. He spent years drilling the rules into me, so I knew them better than my own self. Even now, as I get ready for school at dusk, that laborious process of